Good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. We're ready to get back into our Father's Word. Where did we leave off? Well, we left off with chapter 40. We just discussed Behemoth. It's important that you understand Behemoth. A child can draw you a picture by the description if you focus on the language. The subject was, he was the chief of the ways of God. It means he was the biggest mammoth God ever created. Now, inasmuch as he created man and this creature in the first earth age, because God had declared he created them at the same time, it doesn't. And I know that many of your commentaries are going to say he's a hippopotamus, that he is this, that, or the other. A hippopotamus does not graze off the top of mountains. They would die there. So don't let someone mislead you. Focus on God's Word and hang to it. There is only one creature that God has created that has the tail like a cedar tree. Now, for the benefit of you that are not familiar with the Hebrew, let me explain. What we call salt cedar or some little stunted cedar plant would normally be termed tiasha or heath. But cedars here, like cedars of Lebanon, many times they would grow 70 feet tall and be the girth could be as much as 53 feet. This one particular one that measures that is thought to be approximately 2,000 years old. So only one creature had a tail like that, and it was something that would be in the Baranosaur family, a dinosaur, in other words. So he was talking about the first earth age. Now, he's answering Job's question about why his troubles are as they are, to be stripped of everything. He has listened to three very unwise people, make it four with Elihu, and they didn't answer anything for him. Now God comes down to describing Satan in this 41st chapter. In other words, he's saying, Job, this is where your trouble is. You're blaming this, that, and the other. Now, and this is God speaking, so you can count on it. Okay, now, with that having been said, we come to this earth age, and I'll point out the reasons why you can determine that. In other words, this covers the katabol, the overthrow from the first, the fact that Satan's spirit is here today. As a matter of fact, Job chapter 1, verse 7, never forget it. Satan came before God and with the other angels and said, I have been walking to and fro up on the earth. So at this time, Christ had not confined him to be behind him. That is to say, across the gulf. Spiritually, he's still here. He's the prince or the king of this age, if you would. And certainly our Father allows that if you will allow it. Don't put up with him. This is how our Father leads Job to the fact, beware of Satan. Chapter 41, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father in Yeshua's name, and it reads, canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Now, I have no doubt in my mind that we're talking about a croc here, crocodile, that is to say. And many would tell you a crocodile has no tongue. That's not true. A crocodile has a tongue. It's just that it's adhered to the bottom jaw. And you can't put a cord around it. Why? It's attached to it. Would be an impossibility. In the first place, you're not going to get that close to them anyway. Verse 2. Canst thou put an hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? In other words, fishermen, would usually run a line through the gill and the nose, or whatever you want to call it, and place them back into the water to keep them fresh or alive until they're ready to go home. Do you want to try that on this crocodile? I don't think so. Verse 3. In other words, Satan's that wicked. Satan will talk kind of sweet to you, but he'll eat you up. Verse 3. Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he talk nice to you? Will he speak soft words unto thee, giving you a lot of good deals? You better know about Satan's bargains, because he will take the very love that is within you and turn it against you if you're not careful. Verse 4. Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Do you think you could tame him as a domestic animal? I don't think so. I don't only. In other words, with this being a type of Satan, Satan will lie to you, he will cheat, he will steal. He would promise you the sun if you chose it. But his promises are shallow, vain, and false. Verse 5. In other words, I hope you understand, God is answering Job's questions in a parable here. Why things went wrong. 5. Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? The Hebrew is very specific, as with a little bird. Or wilt thou bind him for thy maidens? Will you put him in a little cage so that they can use him for sport? Naturally, you don't mess around with Satan. You don't argue with him. Never argue with Satan or you're going to lose. Just tell him to get behind you or away from you in the name of Yeshua. And he, of Jesus, that is to say. And he must obey. He has no choice. Verse 6. Shall the companions make a banquet for of him? Shall they part him among the merchants or the Canaanites? The Hebrew word here for merchants. Verse 7. Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons? Or his head with fish spears? No, they bounce off. He has armor. The croc is has armor from head to the tip of his tail. That he's very difficult to take or to spear or anything of that nature. And symbolically, so is Satan. That's why you just order him away from you. You don't try to tame him. You know, I actually get questions occasionally from compassionate hearts that say, I feel sorry for Satan. I don't. He blew it. He had every opportunity that you will have by the time is over in the first earth age. He was elevated to a very, very high position. And he went bad. Why? Because he is bad from the core out. Verse 8. Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, and do no more. What it's kind of saying here, you lay your hand on him once, and after the battle, after he's grabbed at you and snapped at you, you won't do it again. You may not even have a hand left to try to lay on his head. Verse 9. Behold, the hope of him, is in vain. The shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? In other words, you try to take him and your thoughts will be in vain. And certainly one will be cast down even at the sight of him. He'll make a believer out of you. He can spin like a top and drag you to the bottom before you can say 1-2. Satan will do the same thing to you in life today spiritually. Spiritually, he is as wicked in taking an innocent soul to the bottoms of the depth, the abyss, as a crocodile is grabbing an innocent bird on the bank. Verse 10. None is so furious that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? In other words, I'm his maker, and nobody dares barehanded go in against him, then why would somebody stand before me? I'm the one that created him. This is the beauty of remembering God created both the behemoth and Leviathan. They're His creatures. Now, naturally, man, when it comes to the creature themselves, man is given a mind that in using the very tools of the trade, man overcomes the animal world, of course. But to be barehanded, and that's what you're going to be with Satan, there's only one weapon and one armor that you can use against this one. It's not a Sherman tank. It's not a 30-06. It's not something else. It's the gospel armor in the name of Yahshua Messiah. That's the only power that you have that protects you from this one. And it's that simple. But you have to have the faith and the knowledge to know that our Father gives you that power and that authority, and you've got to be bold enough to use it. Verse 11. Who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Prevented, probably, if you translated that, anticipated. Who can anticipate what I'm going to do? Who can anticipate why I did this? Well, I hope Job can. Because what you're going to do, anticipate, I guess, he's going to go along and find out he's been out in a crocodile patch here pretty soon. They've been wading through it like a minefield from day one, pointing fingers in every direction except at the old crocodile, that's to say Satan. Make sure in your life, you know, I've seen families actually break up pointing fingers at each other instead of recognizing the fact that Satan has moved in with them, spiritually speaking. He's got them shouting at each other. He's got them arguing all the time. And they blame each other. The one they really, truly love, they blame, and Satan laughs his head off over in the corner. Out of sight, of course, he's spiritual. Evil, demonic. He will have adults arguing over how the toothpaste is opened or how a package of bread is opened and turn it into a regular fight. It's so ridiculous. And like God said to Job, said, to Satan concerning Job, what do you think about my child Job? I really think he's got a lot on the ball. Satan says, I can take him. Do you think he doesn't do the same about concerning you? If you're one of God's elect, do you think he doesn't think he can take you? Well, he will if you don't recognize that you're in a crocodile field at times, if you allow them to move that close, and you need to do something about it, of course. Now, and verse 12. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportions. In other words, I'm not going to hide him from you. Won't hide him from you at all. But that's encouraging, is it not? I'm not going to hide him from you. He's not concealed. And here they've been wading out around him for 37 chapters trying to figure out what's wrong. And here Satan is growling and grumbling and nipping at him and got him running Job down and poor old Job with boils from head to toe. I tell you what, God will not conceal the truth nor Satan from you, your enemy, that is to say. It's there for you to recognize and to do something about. Can you? Will you? I don't know. That's up to you. First of all, you must believe. You must be a believer. And then you can exercise that power given by our Father in Matthew chapter, I'm going to say it here in a moment, Luke chapter 10, verse 18 and 19, where God gives you power over all of your enemies. This certainly is your enemy. This crocodile that symbolizes Satan And I'll document it when we finish, as we finish the chapter here. He won't conceal him from you. In other words, if you have the truth in your mind to recognize when things go wrong, who's to blame, then God will protect you when you utilize that power. It's that simple. You can believe our Father's word. I have no doubt in my mind that the reason we have so many divorces in this nation today is because this fact is not recognized, and there are not that many believers that know how to handle it. Verse 13, who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Double set of teeth. He's got two rows of teeth. You can't penetrate it. It would tear you to pieces. And who can discover the face of his garment? I mean, it is just, it is knit with armor laying over armor from head to toe until you couldn't penetrate it. Verse 13. You understand, we're not talking about only a crocodile. We're talking about Satan himself. You can't penetrate him either without the proper tools. Verse 13. Who can discover the face of his garment? And we've covered that. 14, we go. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His teeth and his face bring fear just to look at them. And when he opens that old mouth and snaps down, so it is. Verse 15. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. In other words, the very hide itself is so close together and so hard to penetrate. It's the same way with Satan, beloved. Without God, the point he wants you to know, it's an impossibility for you. But with God, it's quite simple. Now, example, if a man had a good spear and rolled that old crocodile over, he's kind of easy to get to, but there's just one thing. Not too many people are hoss enough to roll a crocodile over and still have an arm left. Well, that's kind of the way Satan is, all right? That's why you don't want to mess with him. You don't want to argue with him. Just order him out. Don't waste your time with him. Verse 16. One is so near to another, this is his scales or armor, that no air can come between them. In other words, you can't penetrate it. Again, I would, at the risk of repeating myself, don't argue with Satan. Do you know, as it is written in, what is it? First Peter, I think it's in chapter 2 somewhere, and the very scripture escapes me. Even the angels don't argue with Satan. Now, I could turn there, but you'll find it. It's probably about verse 11, 12, or 13, somewhere right along in there, in the second chapter of Second Peter. Not even the angels will argue with him. Why? It doesn't pay. Just order him out. Don't let him come into, don't let him work his way into your family. Hey, he can, like our Father said, he'll make many supplications and he'll speak soft words into you. He'll drive you such a hard bargain that you won't know for sure that it's Satan that's making the offer. Verse 17. They are joined one to another, they stick together. That they cannot be sundered. You can't push them apart. Verse 18. But his sneezing, or sneezing, a light doth shine. By his sneezings, a light doth shine. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Because he calls himself this. Here God is letting the truth slip through concerning, what does he call himself? The son of the morning. Do you understand that's what Lucifer means in the Hebrew tongue? That he's the bright morning star. In other words, every name that Christ carries, Satan copies. He's a copycat. Why? He wanted to be Messiah. So he will look very bright and he'll be very soothing and persuasive. How sharp are you? You see, the conflict began in the garden, and it amplifies as labor pains as that time grows near, closer and closer and closer. He's going to try you closer and closer together. Do you know how to detect? It's called spiritual discernment. Verse 19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Here you know we're not talking about a crocodile, and you know spiritually who we are talking about. Verse 20. Out of his nostrils go a smoke as out of a seething pot or cauldron. In other words, he is, it is written in Revelation chapter 13 that he will be able to make phos come from the heavens, which means lightning, fire. So he's a firebug, all right. He'll make you think he's got a lot on the ball and a lot to offer. And unfortunately, when he comes as the false, spurious Messiah, saying, I've come to rapture you out of here, many are going to believe him. It's amazing, is it not? Verse 21. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Here we know no crocodile. We're talking about the old dragon that symbolizes the king of Babylon, or the dragon, the old dragon of Babylon, which is to say none other than Satan himself. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand who your father is talking about here, as always. Father is letting Job know, Job, sharpen up for me, boy. Look around you. Verse 22. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. This is kind of a bad translation. Terror and despair dance before him. They dance getting out of the way. Verse 23. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. You see, I hope you realize, though the translators have reworded a little, but this is about three times for emphasis that you can't impregnate his hide. And so it is with words other than the correct words. Can you penetrate him? Can you harm him? Can you frighten him away? You can't frighten him. Well, he is afraid if you get rough enough, all right? I don't know. How rough are you with him? 24. His heart is as firm as a stone. You know why he doesn't have one? Yea, now a crocodile does have a heart, but what I'm saying is, as we use the term heart, you got to have a heart. Then that kind of heart he doesn't have. Yea, his heart is a piece of the nether millstone. He's mean, he's hard, and he's wicked. Though he talks so sweet. It'll be okay. You'll be all right. Just listen to me. Listen to wisdom. And as Satan, in the hour of temptation in Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempting Christ, what did he quote with? What did he speak? Scripture. I guarantee you he knows more scripture than most Christians. He can quote it. There's just one problem. He always twists it. And the poor Christian oftentimes is not familiar enough with the scripture to know whether he twisted it or not. Sounds impressive, but just as it was when he tempted Christ, it was wrong. Verse 25. When he raises up himself, the mighty are afraid. I mean, the brave heroes are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. In other words, they grow confused and lose their way from the path, and then he's got them. They They just it just breaks their cadence. It breaks their discipline. And when you wander off out in the crocodile patch, he's got you. Be very careful in life. You know, it's so easy, unfortunately, most people, many people, I will say, when they first realize they're off the beaten path and they're out in the tulies here and they're beginning to have trouble, they want to blame somebody. Let me tell you something. You can't blame anyone but yourself. Well, so-and-so, you don't understand, dear Brother Murray. So-and-so advised me to take that trail. You didn't have to. You listened to bad advice. So whose fault is that? Yours. Don't try to pass the buck. And I'm going to say, the reason I'm being so stern about this is getting off the path and passing the buck is what will get you in more trouble than ever. So that's why you must recognize and not try to point fingers at other people or blame some preacher or blame somebody else. God sent this letter, which is the Holy Word, to you as his child, arming you just as he has armed Job or is arming him in this chapter how to take care of himself. So you are not better than all other people that you cannot absorb the letter, for he will uncover the truth for you, whereby you can absorb it and take it within yourself and be a mighty warrior in God's army. That is to say, to know how to combat Satan, how the conflict is manifested and what you can do about it. Don't grow confused. Always stick to the facts. Don't listen to a bunch of gobbledygook or malarkey. Stick to the facts as God teaches them, because confusion will get you off course. Verse 26. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. The spear, the dart, nor the haberdon. Now, again, there's only one armor today that will, and these are armor and weapons. And it goes from the very shield down to the very... The first thing you want to make sure you do is that you have on the girt or the belt, which is the Word of God. It'll keep your britches up. It'll hold you together. It is what will... It is the armor that will let you dissect this critter and take him apart from the tip of his nose to the tip of his tail. I mean, if you put on that gospel armor, you can have you a nice crocodile travel bag with two or three little suitcases to go with it, if you know how to be a champion for our Heavenly Father. 27. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. I mean, he, after all, he's the prince of this world. He can handle himself. He's the prince of this world age. And you better know your ages. That's why you must know the difference between Behemoth and this snake, this crocodile, this Satan, this prince of this age that is allowed to exercise the power of deceit and lies. That for the, intelligent, I guess, too intelligent for many. Verse 28, the arrow cannot make him flee, laugh at you. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble, can't dent his hide. And so it is with Satan. You can mess around with Satan if you want to, but you're going to end up the loser for it and from it. 29. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. You can't threaten him. Threats don't mean anything to him. Why? He doesn't have to keep his promises. He's a goner anyway. Nothing matters to him. Except he have a lot of company going with him. Make sure you're not a companion. Verse 30. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. You can have sharp glass under him or some sharp rock or potsherd, and when he crawls over it, he just mashes it into the mud. You can't hurt him. And Satan, after all, is a crawler in the dust. He doesn't care how much trouble or how low or how immoral you become. He loves it. He'll just mash you right on into the mire. Take you all the way down and just laugh at you while he's doing it. He'll just take long enough to do one thing as he's mashing you into the mire, is to turn around to God and say, I thought you said this was one of your elect. As dumb as this character is, I don't know how he ever thought he was one of your elect. The way he lets me manhandle him, do you let Satan manhandle you? I hope not. It would hurt you. It would break your father's heart. He cares. Satan is the accuser. He's going to accuse you, but it's when he is successful that it hurts our father. Tell him to pack his bag and rip it, to shove off from your family, your life. Don't let him laugh at you. Verse 31. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. When he grabs the bait and when he turns and twists, the water boils. When he takes someone down, you're not going to see him again. And he muddies the water so much and so furiously that you're not going to know which way he went with it. Verse 32. He maketh a path to shine after him. Oh, does he ever. One would think the deep to be hoary. You'd think so. Verse 33. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. Well, I can tell you, one that is armed with the word of God, that has the shield of faith, and that belt that is the word of God, then you don't have to be afraid. Never fear him. Satan can't do anything to you because you have power over him if you're Christian enough to exercise it. Now, God himself lets you know in verse 34 who he's been talking about. A child can understand. Listen to it. He beholdeth all high things. He is what? He is a king over all the children of pride. For what penalty was Satan sentenced to death? You'll read it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. Pride. It was his pride that will cause him, as it is written in that chapter in Ezekiel 28, I believe it's in verse 19, that he is turned to ashes from within because of his pride. He is such a proud one. Do you know why? There is only one thing that if we ever wanted to be proud of anything is that our Father is Yahweh, that our Father is God, and that within him we have the power, we have the authority. How could anyone want to displace him? Satan did. And then, don't let him mess up your life. He is the king of this world age for those that will allow him. I like nothing better than stripping his crown from his head and uncovering him and identifying him for who he is and how little power he has or that he possesses over man that is armed with Christ. Make certain that your family is not destroyed by that old crocodile. Don't be like Job to go 37 chapters of yattity, 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 ratchet jaw, ratchet jaw. Men advising him in the traditions of men. Men saying, you just don't go to church often enough, Job. If you really went to church often enough and you didn't get in so much trouble because it's obvious you're an unrighteous man. Job worshiped God every time he got a chance. How could he say that? Because it was ratchet jaw. You know, God finally gets us to the truth. Satan is the blame. The king of pride, of the children of pride, the Kenites, his own offspring. They're the ones causing the trouble. Wake up. And finally, Job does wake up. We'll complete this book of Job in the next lecture. There's some real nice pleasantries there. And if anybody deserved them, Job did, as a servant that stayed true to the living God, regardless of what men would say. Don't miss it. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?